to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. It's been a year since a Bardstown police officer was murdered as he headed home from his shift, but still no suspects in the case. WCPO digital reporter Jessica Knoll spent more than 100 hours recreating the last hours of Officer Jason Ellis's life. She joins me to talk about the story. You can find a link to it at WVXU.org. You also can join our discussion by calling 513-419-7100 or email us, talk@WVXU.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Hi, Jessica. Thanks for joining me.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So you spent a lot of time, 100 hours, I hear, working on this story. When did you start? How did it all come about that you decided you wanted to take this story a little bit further and really delve into it?
Sure. He was killed May 25th, and my editor and I started talking probably in June about how we could really dive a little deeper into the story and go beyond what had already been reported. We knew we wanted to do a timeline, and we knew we wanted to do a narrative. And as the reporting progressed and the interviews and hours spending with family and friends and colleagues of his, we decided that doing a narrative style in present tense was really important to the story because we traced his last 24 hours. So in turn, you're living those last 24 hours with him. You're inside the cruiser with him. You're with his wife as he's on the phone with her. So that was how we began wanting to do a different type of story on Jason and tell the story of Jason. And I think when you read it, you'll feel like you know him. You'll start to hear his voice in this story. And that was made possible by all the people that I talked to.
How did you recreate the parts when he was talking to his wife and those sorts of things? Obviously, you could get that information from people who were also a part of those conversations or witness some of the things that happened. But how did you recreate the time when he was alone in the cruiser? How did you know what you believe happened there?
Sure. Based on interviews of knowing what he did day in and day out, based on dispatch calls that he received and made, and knowing how a person drives a car, it's things as simple as that we can kind of take a little bit of liberty in knowing how he drove his car or things like that. But most everything in the story is factual-based, reported-based, and it was taking all those little elements of reporting and being able to tell a story with it and to get in the car with him and visualize what he does, whether, you know, putting the car in drive and picking up the radio to call dispatch. Those were all things we knew. It was just a matter of telling it in a narrative form.
And apparently you did research even looking at what the phases of the moon were, and you could talk about all those as well.
So. Sure. I knew based on some interviews what the moon was like, so I did research with the weather and the phase of the moon to kind of take you from one part of the day until the night. And another part that we had was, you know, I was asking a lot of people as I interviewed them, what was the weather like when you talked to them? What was the weather like at that time of the day? So I could trace it that way as well. And obviously I looked at forecasts and the almanac and things like that. But one of the tools that I used was I had a few photos that people had given me that were actually taken of him that day, being on the T-ball baseball field as he was coaching. So you can see what the clouds were like. You can tell what the temperature was like by the interview. So all those pieces in the narrative come from fact and interviews and the way that people felt that day.
It's unusual to find a story written quite this way for a story sort of looking back on an event, an unsolved murder in this instance. What are you hoping to accomplish? What do you hope people take away from it once they read the story?
Well, I think most journalists, when they write a story, they hope that it does good. My overall idea would be that, number one, this is a tribute to him as a person, not just an officer, but I think if you read it, you get to know him. You know that he was a family man, and he had a humor about him, and he was nice to everyone. So I think that you get to know him that way. And my end goal is, if people read this and they talk about it and they feel like they know Jason from reading this, that maybe someone will know something and say something, that it'll invoke some emotion by reading it.
What did you learn in all of these hours and hours and hours of interviews?
Oh, gosh, a lot. I learned as a journalist how to even further use my senses when I'm writing, to take the emotions of people, because, you know, everyone I interviewed lost him. So it was very emotional for a lot of them to talk to me. And I was able to use that to further the story. And I think what I also learned was, you know, there's so much more we can tell as journalists. There's so much more we can do than just the who, what, where, when, why. We can actually take a story and make it so that you feel like you're part of that story as you're reading it. And I think that that's really important. And that's what I took away from it. I also learned that, you know, everyone loved Jason. Even people who he had arrested or gave citations to, they all have kind words to say about him. And, you know, I don't think you find that very often.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. If you have a question or a comment, we're talking about an article. It's on the WCPO website now. You can find a link to it at our website, WVXU.org. And it's going back and looking at the last hours of Officer Jason Ellis's life. He was a Bardstown police officer murdered as he headed home for his shift. I've been saying a year ago, that's not right. It's 8, 9 months ago,
right,
that it happened. So as you were working on all this, you had one of the first interviews with his wife. How difficult was it to prepare for that and to really get her to be able to open up?
Preparing for it was probably harder than actually interviewing her. I knew some obvious questions that I wanted to ask, but I wanted to make sure that I asked every little aspect I could about their life together, because that was going to make the story, and I think that it did. Their from their love story to their family together, and she told me, as an officer, that was his job, but they were his life. So I think that that was a huge element in the story, to be able to see all the facets of his life, including his family life. And you know, going in to interview her, it's never easy to interview someone who's had such a tremendous loss in their life. But, you know, I felt like she was very comfortable with me, and I really learned a lot from her. I felt, you know, toward the end of the interview, I couldn't wait to meet Jason, because all these great things were being said about him. So I can't even imagine what kind of loss that is for her. So she didn't just lose the father of her children. She lost her best friend, her partner in life. And so it was not an easy interview to do, but I knew that it would be wonderful for the story to have that piece. And eventually I hope that it's also a good piece for her and her children to read one day.
Now, you also talked with some of the officers and some of his colleagues within the department. I imagine you had to approach that in even a different way.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I think you look at police officers as these, you know, sturdy people. They put up a wall, and they're strong, and they're the protectors of your community. And they are, until you start asking them about their best friend and the person they worked with for 7 years. So it actually caught me a little off guard to have officers talking to me and crying about the friend that they lost. It wasn't just a colleague. They also are a family. So definitely a different approach. I didn't go in with kid gloves as much as I did, I think, with Amy. But nonetheless, was a huge part of the story, not just to show what he did all that night, but to also show his character and the type of person he was. Just a normal guy.
Those officers, those folks that he worked with, did they Was there anything in the history in Bardstown where anything like this has ever happened before?
No. No one understands it. No one knows what happened. It's caught them all off guard.
They're still investigating.
Correct.
Tell us what the status is right now. I mean, it happened. You said, tell me the date again. May.
Sure, May 25th.
May 25th, and they certainly have done investigating up to this point, but unlike many cases, they seem to have not a clue.
I think they've had, I think at the beginning, a ton of leads, and you know, everyone telling what they thought they knew and to help the case, and I think some of that has dwindled off, but they still have leads. When we talk to, it's the Kentucky State Police who's doing the investigation with the assistance of the FBI there locally, and you know, what they've said is to say that we have an abundance of leads is overstating, but to say we have nothing at all is understating. So I think they're still diligent on it. They're working hard on it. And being that it is a police officer, you know, I know, they told me, if someone's willing to do this to someone who protects a community, what are they willing to do to other people in the community? It's someone that has no conscience, so they need to find this person and get them off the streets. And I think that they're working very hard to do that.
Talk a little bit more about how you put the whole story together and the amount of time it takes. That's kind of rare today to spend that much time on a story. Have you done that ever before?
Probably not to this extent. This was, you know, as a journalist, you work on a story for a day, maybe a couple of days, or even a week or two. But for this story, it was 6 months, and it was one of those stories that it definitely kept my interest the whole way. And I think that's really important, because if it kept my interest, finding things and learning things, that I knew that the reader was going to keep interest as they were reading it. And obviously I worked on other things throughout those 6 months, but I would make time to, dedicate solely to this. I spent 4 trips to Bardstown over several days each trip. Went third shift, or second shift rather, when he worked, so that I could go to all those places that he went that night and talk to people, like the gas station attendant or the security guard at the hospital and the jail sergeant. Everyone who he spoke to that night, it was important for me to be not only able to speak to them, but also to speak to them at that time, so I could actually see what that city, what that town is like at that time of night. So it was really reliving and retracing that 24 hours over and over and over for me that was really important to the story. Go ahead.
The level of detail I thought was interesting. You talked about when he went into the gas station mart and he usually got, you know, dinner or lunch or whatever, and this time he just got all this cheese. That tells you a little bit about the man. I mean, were you surprised to hear that?
I was. You know, it's one of those little tidbits that you're not expecting. You know, I figured I'd go in and they'd say, oh yeah, he comes in all the time, and but he comes in all the time and gets the same thing. You know, was it like turkey sandwich, and you know, he gets his Copenhagen, and but they remembered that this particular night he came in for 11 slices of cheese. And since he was a canine unit, he had his dog, but he didn't have his dog that night. But normally he'd have his dog, and they thought, well, maybe the cheese is for the dog. And they were actually having a cookout that night at the police station. So he did a run to go get some cheese. And, you know, it's one of those details in the story that you know, it moves it along a little bit and tells you what kind of guy he was. I mean, he said every time he left someone, it was be safe.
Did anybody not want to talk to you?
No. They're a very, very caring and open community. And I think more than anything, they want answers. So, you know, going into this, I started with the police chief, who has been amazing through the whole thing. And he helped me gain access to pretty much anyone we needed to talk to, knowing that the end game was going to be the story that brought the whole case back to light and to show everything there was in the last 24 hours. And I think that was important to them as well. So I didn't have, you know, I didn't have a lot of pushback on, you know, being able to interview the people we needed to talk to.
Now, Bardstown is not around the corner from here. It's a bit of a drive, yet there is a Cincinnati connection in that the officer is from Cincinnati.
Correct. Yeah. He was a graduate of Glen Estee High School over in Union Township. Then he was on the farm team for the Reds. He had played baseball from T-ball all the way up through high school and then played at college in Kentucky and then came back and played for the Reds for a little bit. So he has a huge connection here in the tri-state. So I think that that was also our biggest reason for wanting to do the story was because he has such a base here, such a, you know, a community here that cares so much about him. And then, yeah, Bardstown's two and a half hours, I think, from here. So and we like to incorporate Kentucky as much as possible in our coverage. So it was there's many communities that have felt this loss.
It's not been 24 hours, really, or just a little over 24 hours since the story's been up on the WCPO website. Are you getting any reaction yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of positive reaction. A lot of people thanking us for doing the story, for bringing it back to light. And also, you know, applauding us for letting us get to know him, letting them get to know him. Because so many times you'll see a story about someone getting killed or even a police officer getting killed and you read it in a report and, you know, it's upsetting and it's sad and you hate that it happened. But this kind of story opens it up. You feel like you know him. You know what kind of person he was. You know much more about him than anything that we've reported on before. And so we've gotten a lot of feedback thanking us. I had, you know, a police officer thank me for doing the story, putting a police officer in what he thought was a good light. And and we just, I think, really want people to read it and get to know him and just keep talking about it, because that's the most important thing, is just keep talking about it, keep spreading it around, because someone obviously knows something somewhere.
Do you anticipate that the story will help spur the investigation?
I hope. I don't know. You know, you never know with stories how they're going to affect people. I've seen from people commenting to me on Twitter and Facebook and emails, it's affected them. People that don't even know Jason, didn't know his story, it's touched them. So, you know, I definitely hope that it touches more people to get to the right person to get this.
Was it strange to write a story that really isn't quite over? I mean, the end is not there. I mean, it's sort of, in some ways, you read the story and it sort of stops before the ending because the ending isn't there yet. I mean, is that difficult?
It was. And especially writing narrative form, I think there was a lot of foreshadowing that we were able to put in there and keep it a little suspenseful, even because the ending that we have, you already know that ending if you know the story at all. So to keep people engaged in the story was difficult because you already knew the ending. So you had to keep it on the edge of suspense and pull people in by caring about him and caring what his last 24 hours was and caring about those 11 slices of cheese that he went in to get at a gas station. But no, the ending has not been written yet, obviously. And I think I'm hoping that it will have an ending soon.
You're going to be talking about this on your Facebook page tonight. Tell us the details on that.
Yeah. We're going to have a smaller story on the 6 o'clock news, and then I'll be on Facebook Live from 6 to 7:30 and taking questions and anything anyone wants to ask about it, about the story, about Jason. And then also at 11 o'clock, we're going to be airing a story on TV that I think is pretty compelling, and it'll be a good story.
Same topic.
Same premise, yes.
And the Facebook page, if somebody's looking for it, what is it?
Sure. It's Jessica Knoll, WCPO. And I also want to mention the story at 11 will include the interview with Amy Ellis. So people will probably want to catch that for sure.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. I've been talking with WCPO digital reporter Jessica Knoll. A link to her story, Exit 34, The Last Watch of Officer Jason Ellis, is on our website, WVXU.org. Cincinnati Edition is produced by Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Bruce Ellis. Our engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike Makinich. We also had help today from Kevin Reynolds. Archives of our program are available on our website, WVXU.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.